First of all, on behalf of Marge and myself, I just want to say thank you. You've been a great church. Only one person responded. I can always trust on Blake. But thank you so much. It's been really good for us to spend this time here with you. And it's a great joy to have some from the wider church family here, from Minion Christian Fellowship and from Phillip Island Baptist Church. There was someone else from Maui Baptist Church, and I don't know if there's any other church represented here, but thank you. This is what the family of God should be. Much wider. Yes. Laurie, good to see you. But you know, it's been so good. And today, I was telling someone yesterday when they asked me, how do you feel? I've got mixed feelings. There's joy to see what God has done in our midst, as Rod has pointed out. And like I said on that first Sunday here, Rod is going to be my captain and I'll be the deckhand. I hope I've lived up to that, Rod. But God has blessed you with a wonderful couple here in Rod and Mez and their love for Jesus. And by the way, they look very young. They're not teenagers. So God, I believe God's got a great ministry for both of you. And now I've just given him a promotion. I used to call him bishop and all these things. Today I've made him the archbishop. But I'm sure that with Pastor Duncan, who's coming shortly, it was my joy to have a long chat with him. And with both of them, I'm sure you're going to go ahead in this church if we decide one thing. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. God's laid on my heart. I know when Rod was setting up the roster for the preaching, I said, Rod, that last Sunday I want to preach. Because God laid this on my heart long ago. One thing that touched me this morning as I walked in that queue that was waiting to sign up there. Didn't you enjoy the drumming this morning? I always do. We've got some great drummers and the chief drummers here too somewhere. But he came and put his arm around my shoulder and said, I'm going to miss you. And I thought, ah, till then I was okay. Riley, I'm going to miss you too. But my prayer is that all these young ones and the older ones, all of us here, are the first fruits of what God has in mind for Beaconsfield Baptist Church. You should know me by now. I'm expecting an amen. I really believe that God wants to use each one if we are willing. Many, but one. Living together in unity. That's what my word is today. Based on Philippians. And I've given you another reading that you can read at home. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Read that. But as we face the future, when the first Sunday that I stood here and was welcomed into this fellowship, I didn't know that we were going to be locked up for so long. I didn't know. I had all these things. I told the leadership, I told Pastor Rod, I'm going to be quiet for 6 months and I need to learn something about the church. I need to know where the church is at. And after that, I will do what God wants us to do. So, for 6 months, I just got to know people, and Marge and I apologize for those that we haven't yet dropped into. Maybe we'll bump into each other in the future, but we want to be there. Now, background to this letter, enough of that now. I got a few more things to say later on. Rod, what time do we finish? Lunchtime, isn't it? Yeah, good. You know, I can preach today. No one's going to stop me, is it? No, I'm thoughtful of you. Don't worry. In this epistle that Sean just read for us, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, I began to feel, when people began to ask me the question, how do you feel? It's summed up in how the Apostle Paul felt. When he had this relationship and fellowship and friendship with churches that he planted over the years, and I can He said this many times to other churches, but the church at Philippi, it brings back memories of his time when he was there. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. It records Paul's first meeting with the Philippians in that church. And then we see that this church shared a lot with Paul over those years. And he got to know them intimately. They didn't only share in praying for him and blessing him, but they also shared in giving to him. In those days, those shepherds and leaders never had salaries that were given by churches and things. So what a generous church this was to bless him. But when he was in prison, and he's been in prison many times, I haven't yet, for the gospel. I haven't been either for anything else, but just thought I'd throw that in. but the way the world is going, we're going to see many more servants of the Lord suffer for the sake of the gospel. And that song that we just sang, which has become my favorite, "Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me." No matter what, they put me in jail. Think about all those people who will come to know Jesus there. I can do the pastoral care there, folks. Wouldn't it be good? Yeah. They even sent Paul, when he was in prison, they even thought of him there. And they sent Epaphroditus to him and sent him a gift to bless him and encourage him. But instead, he was more of an encouragement to them. They even sent Paul, this man who... Paul, they even sent Paul this gift, but when he got there, Epaphroditus got sick. He took ill. And the church at Philippi hears about this. And Paul says, "I think I should send you back." So this is the background to this letter that Paul is writing from prison to the church at Philippi. Paul is filled with great joy when Epaphroditus tells him how much the church has moved forward since he was last there. He's filled with joy when he hears of the way they are living for God. And I tell you this, Marge and I will be thrilled every time we hear what God is doing in Beaconsfield. By the way, I've been thinking about this name Beaconsfield. The first few words of that is beacon. A beacon is a light that shines in the darkness. And you got a beacon newspaper, a newsletter. Why not be a beacon from this place to this community? I know you are, but clean the lens a bit. Turn the power up a bit. Let it shine out a little further. Amen. Paul is filled with great joy when he hears what God is doing at the church in Philippi. But he is also concerned about some false leaders who are entering into the church and trying to lead the church astray. So that's a concern when he hears about that too. And I want to assure you, and you've heard it from me many times, that there are forces from Satan himself who are trying to destroy the work of God. And my friends, you and I are responsible to see the work of Jesus go forward. And it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me. And we've got to say, "Lord, here am I." Another thing that Epaphroditus told him was, "Brothers and sisters at Philippi in the church family, are not getting along with each other." In one of the churches I was preaching many years ago, I don't know what scripture I preached on, but it was about not getting along with each other. And I said, if there's someone here before we break bread, we had a communion service that day, I want you to get up and go to that person and apologize before we start the communion service. They knew I meant what I said because some people got up and went to each other and put things right before we broke bread. And I know that the Apostle Paul's heart must have been broken when he heard that brothers and sisters are not getting along together. And my friends, This is something that has destroyed the name of Christ. Because we can't get along with each other. And we're living in a society where people can't get along with each other. Where can they find it? But they should be finding it in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's you and me, folks. That's us. We need to live. So he's prompted to write this letter to the Philippian church, and you can read the whole letter. But I've entitled this, what I want to share with you, Face the Future with a Righteous Determination. Determine today in your heart, I'm going to be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the young person who will live for Jesus, will serve him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. And I want him to have the glory. So if you want to say thanks today for all that's happened in the last 20 months, thank him. It's because of him that we're here. It's because of him we've accomplished what we can accomplish. Yet not I, but he who lives in me. So give him the glory. But I want to leave this verse as a key verse for you for the future. If I never preach again from here, remember this verse. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16, 18, and 19. This is what the Lord says. He who made you a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Some translations have streams in the desert. The Lord is saying to us as a church family, can't you see what I'm doing in your midst? How many haven't seen that yet? Oh, wow. I'm sure you have. We've all seen what God has been doing here. And if we are seeing that, we should be able to say, Lord, I want to forget the things of the past. Don't live in the past. You'll never be able to move forward. Many of us are stuck in the past, and God wants to release us and say, go forward. Go in my name. I was asked the question by someone from the Baptist Union. Charles, you're finishing on the 18th. Now you're going to retire. I said, absolutely, as soon as I find it in the Bible. So if anyone's got a verse there, please tell me. Another pastor rang me a couple of weeks ago. Won't mention his name because you might know him. He said, Charles, you're retiring now. I said, no. No, I'm not retiring. I said, Stuart, I'm going to... You won't know. You won't know who that is. There's so many Stuarts in the world. I said, you can tell him if you like. No problems. I said to him, no, I'm not retiring because I can't see it in Scripture. He said, that's all the more reason why you need to retire. You're getting blind, he said. See what pastors get up to? But you know something? This is why I keep on. This is why I'm passionate. I love the Church of Jesus. No matter what label we have, Beaconsfield Baptist Church, Phillip Island Baptist, doesn't matter. When we stand before the throne, he won't ask us which church you came from. He's going to say, are you part of my family? That's why I've kept on using the word church family. We are a family. We're not an organization. We are a family. We are the family of God. That needs to be impressed more on our hearts. And God is saying to us, as you face the future, face it with a righteous determination, a godly determination, to face it like Jesus would. Because we, again, Romans 8:29, I reminded you last week, read that and make that your verse. That he will be transforming us into the likeness and image of his own son. That's what he's predestined us to be. And for you and me, that's my goal. that each day he will be changing me into the image and the likeness of Jesus. That's my prayer every day. So let's go through this chapter, otherwise you won't get your dessert. In the first two verses, we read this greeting from Paul to the Philippian church. He says, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. Folks, you're looking at one here and there's another one there. And his wife and my wife. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. Can't help it. Am I right, Rod? And Mez? Yeah, look after these guys, please. For me. Two people said yes, Rod. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi. If he was writing today, he'd say, I'm writing to all God's holy people in Beaconsfield who belong to Christ Jesus. If you do, this is to us, including the church leaders. Where are you, folk? So he singles out the leaders, and he also singles out the deacons. What would we do without the deacons? Oh, you don't realize, you better go see the deacons then. Yeah, we need the leaders, church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you the grace and the peace. And we need to respect our leaders. We need to encourage our leaders. Someone said, if you don't like your pastor, pray harder for him. He'll work harder and he'll die in the end. You know something? That's what they think. The harder you pray for him, God will keep on using him even more. That's what's going to happen to you, Rod. They're going to pray harder for you. God use you and bless you, my friend. Paul's gratitude is seen in the next few verses from verse 3 to 11. His gratitude and his appeal. He begs the people at Philippi. And if I can beg you on my knees today, I would. Forget the past. Live in the present. And look to God for the future. May he raise up from this place and the other churches represented here that I've had a margin, I've had a part in. Thank you for being part of us here today. But for all the churches, I would say the same thing. Let us become the people of God, regardless of our labels, and we'll stand before him one day as one big family, the redeemed family, for which Jesus paid the everlasting price of his blood. Every memory of them, Paul says in verses 3 to 4. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. As Marge said, thank you for the directory, and I hope you'll update it for us, Rod. that we can keep on praying for you. And praying for your senior pastor who comes along. He'll probably be the bishop and you'll be the He'll be the cardinal and you'll be the archbishop. It's better. But every time we think of you, we're going to thank God for you. And we're going to be praying for you. We're going to pray for your leadership. We're going to pray for the pastors and the future as God, that God will make you a mighty blessing. In verse 5, his appreciation for their fellowship in the gospel. From day one, he says, from the day I met you, he said, you've been with me and I appreciate you. I must say this, Marge and I would say the same thing. From the day we met you, from the day I met the leadership, I felt something there. And I realized that God was leading. And I wasn't going to commit myself until the Lord definitely showed me. Am I right, Ashton? And today, we can look back and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for guiding us here. It's been a good time spent with you. Paul says in verse 5, for you have seen my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. From the time you first heard it until now, we work together for only one thing. To raise Jesus high. The world needs to see Jesus. Australia needs to see Jesus. Beaconsfield needs to see Jesus. They're going to see Jesus through his people, no one else. I'm going to ask you a straight question this morning. If you walk out into the streets, into the supermarkets, would they know any difference from you and someone else shopping there? Should, yes, but would they? Do they? I make it my part to make it happen. Like, simple. How are you today? I said, always great, like just like yesterday. Oh, that's a good attitude to have. I said, yeah, because of him. There's your testimony, my friends. I can't speak to people. I'm yet to see someone who cannot talk to someone else. We can all do it for him. Let's move on. Paul is positive here that God will complete the good work begun. Now, I tell you something. What God has started here, as Pastor Rod has shared with you this morning, the leadership, the deacons and the elders, and Rod and I have been thrilled to see what God's done over the last 20 years. So are you. Don't let Satan destroy that on any front. He says, from that very first day, he says this to them, and I'm going to say it to you. They shared with him during his imprisonment, verses 6 and 7, and in the proclamation of the gospel. But he goes on and says, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. It's not over yet, folks, until we see Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give in. But look up and stand strong. That is why I'm looking forward to the next 41 years. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. I want to stir you up. Even if you don't like me after this sermon, that's okay. As long as we see each other there. And we say, good to see you there. Hallelujah. That'll be the greatest joy for me. Amen. But God has promised, and Paul says, if God started a good work in here, in you, he is going to make it continue to work for good until we finally finish when we see him. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. So it's okay for Marge and I to feel the way we feel today. For you have a special place in our heart. I can assure you of that. You do have a special place in our heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the gospel. My prayer is that you will continue to confirm the truth of God's word from this day forward, like you have been doing. And that you will stand by, pray for, encourage those in leadership, not only the overall leaders, but also those who are in ministries, the little ones, serving the tea and a coffee. When did you ever go up to them and say, thank you for what you're doing? Just a little word of encouragement. There's so many people who work behind the scenes. Rod and I see them during the week when we're here. How many times have we said thank you for what they do? Encouragement goes a long way, my folks, my friends. And Paul goes on and says, God is his witness to the fact that he longs for them to love with the love of Jesus. God knows, he says in verse 8, how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. In verse 9, we see his prayer for them, verses 9 to 11. This is my prayer for you all. Verse 9, that their love will flourish in the knowledge and in all discernment. Paul says here to the Philippian church, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. We glibly say, I love you. But is it an overflowing love? Someone said, when we get knocked by someone else, what flows out of us is what is in us. So when you are knocked in life, and we all get knocked in life, what comes out of you is what's filled in your heart. My prayer is that when you are bumped and you are hurt and you're destroyed by others around you, let the love of Christ flow through you. If you're filled with the love of Jesus, that's what will flow. And it says here, the love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. He goes on and says, understanding what really matters. That's what verse 10 says. For I want you to understand what really matters when it's all said and done. When the home call comes for you, or when the Lord, if the Lord comes before then, when it's all said and done, all that matters is, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. That's all. When it's all said and done. I just read an article, a little article the other day. We came into this world with nothing. We leave with nothing. When we came in, someone else clothed us. When we leave, someone else will clothe us. When we came in, we had no wealth. When we leave, we'll have no wealth. What happens to all that we have is not our responsibility anymore. How people destroy it or use it or misuse it, we can't do anything. So why worry about all those things? But start worrying about what he thinks of you and me. So that then we'll begin to live like he. Understand what really matters. The second part of that verse says, so that you may live a pure and blameless life until the day of Christ's return. That they may be sincere and without offense or fault till Christ return. Let's live like that every day. The only way to do that is to crucify yourself with Christ every day. Take up your cross and follow him. I must conclude by saying his prayer for them is found in verses 9 to 11. That they be filled with fruits of their salvation. I've just taken some young people through, and I think I pray that Rod will have 9 people to baptize shortly. Yes. Yes. I'm working on 2 more. I'm taking them through the course. But once that's finished, Rod will probably have 9. Now, this is possible. It's possible for us to live like this so that the fruit of our salvation flows out. It's made possible through Jesus Christ alone. May you always, always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. Not by ourselves, but by him living in us. To the glory and praise of God, for this will bring much glory and praise to God our Father. Are you planning to grow this year? Start memorizing scripture. Start with John 11:35. Very easy to learn that one. Jesus wept. Start with that one. I want to call up Matt Inman if he's here, but I'm not going to do it. I asked the question in the baptism course, anyone know the books of the Bible? And there was one guy, Matt, if ever you get him up, Rod, ask him. He knows the books of the Bible. Fantastic. Start memorizing that. Overcome any chronic sin that's tripping you up all the time. Share the gospel with the lost around you all the time. Enjoy spiritual encounters with God every day. Change the way you live for the rest of this year and see what happens. Look out for warning signs of spiritual complacency. We all get complacent every day. We need to look out for that. It creeps in. Unnoticed, with tragic consequences. Well, you can read the rest of it in my notes if you want it. But I want to close by saying, become a prayer warrior. Without prayer, nothing is possible. Join a weekly home group or a life group if you're not part of one. I think that's my challenge in the pastoral care area. If you're not part of one, join one. Or if you want to start one, see Pastor Rod. Tell him, I'd like to start one. He'd be very thrilled. Or see Stephen, our elder. They'll be glad to help you. to start a group. Lead someone to Jesus. When did you last talk to someone and bring them to Christ? Lead someone to Christ. Look at the empty seats you can fill up. Yeah, you can. Disciple someone this year. I want to leave you three facts, never to be forgotten. Fact number one, it is Christ who builds this church. I want to stress that because what Marge and I have done here is nothing compared to what Jesus has done. And what we have done is because of him. It is Christ who builds the church. Don't try to build it for him. He is the chief shepherd. He is the boss. Leadership matters, but Christ alone is our shepherd. Amen? Secondly, God has a plan and a purpose for BBC. You reckon that? Yeah, before you were formed, he had it. Although I am concluding my ministry here today, the specific mission of Beaconsfield Baptist Churches will still continue. Did I say churches? Oh, is that prophetic? I don't know. Pulling together and boosting unity. Boost unity, not division. Division is not of God. And if we are the cause of division, watch out. If we divide the body of Christ, we have to give an account to God one day. It's his body. Pull together, boosting each other, encouraging each other, move forward. And the third thing is, you will be in our prayers. And we ask you for your prayer. Let us face the future with a godly righteousness to be the best person or people God has in Beaconsfield. Do you subscribe to that? I wish we had a covenant to give out this morning and say, I'm going to sign up to that, to be part of God's family here. Marge and I want to thank you for the past 20 months. The privilege you gave us to serve you. Thank you. It was an honor. It's very difficult to say farewell. I'm not saying it today. We'll meet again. As I always say, we'll meet there, or we'll meet somewhere in the air, or we might meet here again. I don't know. We'll wait and see what God has in store. We've ministered and loved you, and still we'll keep on loving you. The thought of leaving you reminds me of the time the Apostle Paul had to leave the churches he left. So it's no different. And so, as we've ministered with you, we want you to minister to one another the love and joy of Jesus. Build a strong bond in this fellowship. And I close with these words. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter, my sermon in this case, with these words. Be joyful. Some of you are not looking joyful. I want to put a smile on your dial. Be joyful. Grow into maturity. You know, we can be old, but we're not mature many times. You could be young and you could still be mature. Grow to be a mature person. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. I stress that. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and forevermore. Amen. Father, into your hands we commit all that has happened over these months that we've been here. Not to our glory at all, Father. We take no glory for what's happened. We take no praise. We do not want to take your praise because that belongs to you. So we praise you this morning for what you've done through your people here, through the leadership, through everyone who've stepped up. Thank you for the AV team out there that work behind the scenes. Thank you for all those who've made it possible. Thank you for those online even today. Father, we ask your blessing to be upon this church family. Yet not us, Lord, but let Christ live in and through each one of us to your glory, so that one day we will meet again. We look forward to that day when we stand in your presence and hear the words from your lips, "Well done, good and faithful servants of mine," from Beaconsfield Baptist Church. Father, I commend your church family into your hands. I pray for Pastor Duncan and Sharon. I pray for Rod and Mez as they serve you, for Stephen and Sonia, for each of the deacons, for Ashton and Sean, and both the Davids, and for Carl. I hope I've not forgotten anyone, Lord, but you know them. Sorry. Colin. Yes, bless them all, Father. And as a team, may they continue to serve you the way they have, and even to greater things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.